trip, take a little trip, take a little trip and see. Take a little trip, take a little trip, take a little trip with me.
Welcome to The Finish Line with Randy and Ashley, presented by In-N-Out Auto Salon in partnership with Johnny Martin's Car Central. The Finish Line is sponsored by the Mike Shaw Auto Group of Colorado Springs and 365 Grand Club and Properties. The weekly broadcast and podcast is all about the people and their cars, places and events that put the style in their automotive life. And now, putting the style into your automotive life, here are Randy Martinez and Ashley Gento.
And we're back. Welcome back, guys. It's The Finish Line here with me, Randy Martinez, and Ashley Gento. What's up, Ashley?
How are you, Randy? Happy Wednesday.
You know, it's just another beautiful day out in Colorado Springs.
Absolutely. What's up with this weather we've been having? It's oddly warm.
It's beautiful.
I'm not complaining.
It's beautiful out right now.
I mean, fall's my favorite season, so I would love a little bit cooler, but I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, it doesn't change anything being mad, because the weather changes quicker than your emotions.
This is true. This is true.
Here we are. We're in week three, and welcome back, listeners. You know, hopefully we're gaining some traction with you guys, and you like the way this sounds, and you continue to listen in. Make sure you go on over to our Facebook page at The Finish Line COS. Check us out there if you have any questions or you want to interact with us. It's a good place to start. We've got a very exciting show this week, you know, with winter.
What are we going to talk about, Randy?
Well, the winter is right around the corner, Miss Ashley, so.
Oof, means I need new tires.
Yeah, we've got a lot. That's, we're going to cover that, which is rad. We're going to talk about like five things that you're not going to want to miss out on, because it could mean, you know, not to scare you, but I mean, there's people who've died in the winter out here if they're not prepared. So we're going to go through five things that you're going to want to do or look at before the winter season approaches. You know what else, Ashley? Are you scared to ask?
I'm a little scared because I feel like I got a little Randy coming on right now. You always surprise me here and there sometimes. What else do we have going on?
I don't know. I'm done with cars, I guess.
Like, how are you done with cars? What does that mean exactly?
Like the little go-kart things that sit like 2 feet off the ground. I'm just done with cars.
So does that mean you're going trucks, mopeds, bicycles? Are we going to be a little more eco-friendly? What's going on here?
First of all,
what do you mean exactly?
I'm not eco-friendly by any means.
Well, shame.
I'm all about big trucks.
Shame.
and if you listen to our last week's show, I'm waiting for Elon Musk to continue with his spaceship.
Okay. Oh, right. So you're going to spaceship.
And we're going to tow a Prius behind us so that we can use it as a go-kart on the moon.
Perfect.
You know what I mean?
Perfect. Perfect.
No, I'm just saying, I love cars, I love exotic cars, but cars, I'm just a truck guy. I don't know where that came out of, why, but cars.
You like trucks.
I like something that serves a purpose, you know?
Okay.
Since I don't go grocery shopping, a car serves me no purpose.
And Goldfish crackers don't go to die in your car like they do mine.
No, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So it serves different purposes.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, truck guy, let's hear it.
Well, no, I'm just saying. There was no point to the. There was no. It was just, I'm done with cars. I'm down with trucks. Anyways, we'll get into that a little bit later. But we do have a few things that we're going to talk about this week. Big news. Big news. We've got a manufacturer that is ditching a super iconic car. No longer. Done. Next year.
So we'll specific car or design?
It's the design. So the manufacturer is still going to make their cars, but they're just done with a particular lineup.
Interesting.
It'll blow your mind when you find out who is getting rid of what.
I guess we're going to have to stay tuned for this shocker.
Yeah. What else is out there? We've got somebody turned 110 this week in the automotive world.
Ooh. So that's 110. Kudos.
Big for them.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's a long time to be in the car game, no doubt.
Very old. Very in the car game, just... In life, in general, 110 is
yeah.
a long time in the game. So that's, what's the world record on that? Do we know?
As far as what, the oldest car?
No, well, just the oldest person or the oldest car or any of that. Do we know any of that information?
I don't know. I think the oldest lady, or I don't know if it's the oldest lady.
Just random food for thought, but maybe this is something we can Google on break. Be curious, well, since you brought it up.
I thought it was like 122, 121. Oh, no, it's right here. 122 years 164 days. It's Jeanine Calumet. She was born in like 1875 and died in 1997.
Okay, so somebody needs to name a car after her and run that for about 122 years.
That'd be rad.
That would be rad.
Only I couldn't imagine driving like a Janet Clemente or Janet Clement. What do you got? Well, I got a...
I got a Clemente.
I got a Ford F-250. Sweet. I got a Janet Clemente. What is that? I don't know. It's 122 years old, though, and it's solid. It's
pretty awesome.
Yeah. Talk about eating your vegetables, man. 122.
Right?
I think like after 80 or 90, you just get kind of...
I'm with you there. I'm with you there.
I'm like... yeah. At a certain age, it's just like, please, just... let me go.
It was a good run.
What else we got? We've got, well, you know, our motivational minute, definitely. And then we're going to give our local, our upcoming week, our local calendar lookup. I think we're going to coin that LCL. Kind of give you a rundown of the shows that are going on in our area, our neighborhood, stuff like that. Wanted to share with you, I went and got tires this weekend. The wife's tires were done. If you guys are ever down in Fountain, stop in and talk to the guys over at Les Schwab. I dealt with a couple of different people there. They were all super knowledgeable, very, very, very cool, outgoing guys. Brandon and Ryan, if you guys are listening, thank you a lot. You guys hooked it up. They're very super knowledgeable. They're outgoing. You can tell that they actually care about their customers. I know the GM there, Greg. They bring vehicles into our shop all the time. It wasn't like I needed to go in there and tote, you know, hey, it's me, it's Randy, I'm from In-N-Out, or anything like that. I mean, we walked up, I got a nod from Greg. My wife, I get this, my wife has been in there so much, because they do free, like, tire checks and tire rotation, which is rad. They knew her by name. I mean, we walked in, oh, hey, Mrs. Martinez, how you doing? And so just the touch that they do is really impressive down there. You know, they put the tire that we were interested in on the rim, mounted it so we can get it visual.
Balanced everything.
Well, before we even chose the tire.
Nice.
Because we had three options. You know, we were choosing between, you know, she wanted a real aggressive look on the Jeep opposed to, you know, this design, that design. You know, thank God we found the first tire in the first sitting. Or, you know, it's almost like trying on shoes. You can attest to that.
Can I?
I'm sure you check on more shoes than we did tires when you're out shopping, right?
Maybe.
So
I will not divulge. But yeah, kudos to Les Schwab. I mean, I'm looking to get new tires on my car this season, in the next month, because desperate need. So maybe I'll have to go see your boys down at Les Schwab. I doubt they'll know me by first and last name, but
I can almost guarantee.
I'll just name drop. Is that cool? Can I name drop?
Go. Hey, tell them you're a famous radio personality. And
so famous. You know. Perfect.
So that's what kind of just want to give a shout out to them. This, the fall, you know, fall's finally here. You guys know that. That's where we're getting into the tire change. So we're going to jump into that. That's this September 22nd. So it's like literally right around the corner.
Saturday, first day of fall.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like it, but
no.
Again, I'll take it. My favorite season.
It'll shock you.
I'm ready.
So why don't you go ahead and bring us out of this segment, Ashley.
It's time for a break. You're listening to The Finish Line on KRDO News Radio, presented by In-N-Out Auto Salon, sponsored by 365 Grand Club and Properties, the Mike Shaw Auto Group, in partnership with Johnny Martin's Car Central, and we will be right back. To the Finish Line. My name is Ashley Ginto with Johnny Martin's Car Central. I'm here with Randy Martinez with In-N-Out Auto Salon.
What's up?
In this segment, we're going to talk about five ways to prep your vehicle for winter and possibly talk about what is happening with the Volkswagen Beetle.
Oh, yeah, we're not going to try to save that as a secret.
It's not a secret anymore. Did I let the secret out? Yeah. I ruined it. I ruined the secret.
That's Ash.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
don't give her a key to anything. She will unlock that box and give it away.
Yes, absolutely. So let's just start with the five ways to prep your vehicle for winter. So I know in my case, I am looking for new tires because I am overdue.
Did I mention Les Schwab?
You did mention Les Schwab last segment, and sounds like they treated you very nicely. So if you need a hookup, just mention Randy Martinez.
Yeah, go on over there to Les Schwab. So the things that you can do right now, we're talking right now, to ensure that your car is going to be smooth during the winter months and also keep you and your family safe in case anything happens, because you're going to get, you never know. First and foremost, Ashley, do you have a box or any kind of container that's going to hold supplies in there, like granola bars, candy, or I mean, not candy, what am I thinking? Granola bars.
I have children, so candy, like I said, goldfish crackers, candy, blankets. I have blankets.
So you do have a little box.
Yes.
That's good.
I have like the battery chargers.
Okay.
Jumpstart the battery just in case.
Okay. So a winter supply box is going to be a really good idea, guys. It's probably one of the most important things that you can do for your car as well as your personal safety. Reason is because if something goes wrong on a cold day, you're going to want a sweater. You're going to want blankets. You'll want a flashlight, road flares, first aid kit. Anything can happen when changing a tire or, anything. So you want a first aid kit.
Looks like I need to add to my box.
Yeah. Make sure you put some gloves in there. You want some
flashlight,
some llaves, some gloves, a radio. Now, I don't know.
Why a radio?
It'd be a good idea in case your battery goes down in your car. You can kind of keep an idea as far as upcoming weather alerts, how long a storm's going to last. Personally, I have a spare backup. What do you do with your old cell phones? You throw them away, recycle them?
I give them to my children until they break, and then I say, oops, sorry, won't charge.
Wouldn't be a bad idea to throw one of those in that box, because 911 still works even if you don't have service.
Absolutely.
So having a spare backup cell phone in there. Anyone from Colorado knows either a bag of sand or cat litter is going to help you with traction.
Mm-hmm.
I know the wife, a couple years back, she works downtown. She was parked in a place that had a lot of ice on the road. And she couldn't get out, but luckily one of her coworkers had some cat litter.
It's actually smart. Never thought about that.
Get an extra ice scraper. Your fingers, your digits, they can get rather cold trying to scrape the ice off. And if yours breaks, misplaced, a lot of times go to an oil change place. They might have taken it out for whatever reason.
And ladies, nobody wants to break a nail.
No.
It's expensive manicure right there.
Yeah.
Extra ice scraper.
There you go.
Done.
Some high-energy snacks, some granola bars wouldn't be a bad idea.
Or goldfish crackers.
Or, I think you're pretty safe. You could probably hibernate for the winter if you had two in your car with the kids.
A Costco size.
Like, hey, just go down in between the seats, kids.
Yeah, right?
Mom's hungry. I need some.
Rummage. Just rummage, children. You're fine.
No, I don't want crackers. I want a gummy bear.
Well, there's probably one there, too. So keep digging.
I know that my neighbor, they have a Rubbermaid container that they swap out. We have ours. We just keep it in her Jeep full time. And obviously I've got everything in there. But containers are a good idea that you can swap them out at the end of summer or at the beginning of summer and put them in at the beginning of winter. And that's a good time to go over your entire repertoire, whatever you have in your box. That's the first thing that we're going to recommend, is to have a winter box that you put in, I'd say, right around Halloween.
I think for sure blankets. I've also I've been known to keep just kind of some spare water bottles. Back there. I mean, hot or cold, it doesn't matter. If you get stuck
parched
roadside, like, at least you have something. I mean, you can always eat the snow, I guess.
Not
if it
the
is
yellow.
The wintertime, but not the yellow.
Not the yellow snow or the brown snow.
But I usually do try and keep some extra spare bottles of water.
So that's number four. Number five on our list. Number four, this winter, you're going to want to go ahead and check your engine coolant and your antifreeze levels. Now, what the antifreeze is, it's the magical substance that keeps your engine from freezing when it gets like 20 below. If you feel like you need to go and get it looked at, I take it to the dealership. So check your antifreeze and your engine coolant.
It's true though that you use different antifreeze for summer versus winter, right?
In different climates. So
okay.
If you're from Colorado.
I'm pulling a full on female car car, like not knowing cars 100%, but at least
it's designed
to enough to know that. Like you do have to change
the fluids and the coolant, yeah.
For warmer climates versus colder climates.
Well, and it kind of says it in the name, anti-freeze.
Perfect.
So, you know.
Otherwise, you could just throw water in there if you're in the desert, right? Same thing?
It's been known to work in the desert.
Hey.
I could, yeah. But you can go
why
and get
I keep
that.
Water in my car, in my box.
In your box. But you can go to like AutoZone, O'Reilly's, stop by any of your local, you know, car stores that you go and get your wiper blades, oil, stuff like that. They'll check it for you if you have any questions. And then your fail safe is always go to the dealership. They'll top everything off for you, on that level. And then, number three is going to be one you already brought up, Ashley. I know this is an issue for you. and I got it fixed this weekend on the wife's car is your tires.
My tires for sure.
So,
I keep losing pressure. The tire pressure is with the erratic weather changes.
Just dropping?
Yeah. Just drops, fill it.
You know a good way for you to test?
80 degrees and then it's 60 degrees, so it drops again. I fill it again.
There's a couple things. One, you can get it done with nitrogen, and that'll help stabilize with the temperature change.
Okay.
Nitrogen will keep it at, you know, if you're running at 68 PSI, it'll run at 68. It's not going to fluctuate with the temperature, so that's one way is to go get nitrogen-charged tires.
Yeah, because I'm the gas station kind of filler-upper. 50 cents for free air.
Perfect. Yeah, that doesn't make much sense.
I know. It drives it crazy, but that's what I do.
So
nitrogen, okay.
Coming into the fall, you're going to want to check your tire pressures. And what I was going to tell you, Ashley, is have you ever used a penny to check your tread depth?
I haven't, but I've seen that done before. I believe I've heard of this, but I have not. So.
It's not the end all be all. It's just a gauge, if you will, because
does it have to be a penny?
I would recommend a penny because
why? Why not a nickel?
Because because a penny matches the tire. I don't know. Because Abe, it's Honest Abe.
It's Honest Abe. Okay, I'll take
we'll
it.
We'll stick with Honest Abe. He's not going to lie to you. So what you do is you take your penny in upside down and you put it in between where the little grooves are in the
sure.
tire.
Mm-hmm.
And you want his entire head covered.
Well, shoot. Time to get to Les Schwab.
Yeah. Because if it's not, it's time to get some new tires.
Yeah. All right.
So you do want to check the tread depth.
It's an interesting little test. I'll have to do it.
It's imperative that you have the right amount of air in there as well. So you can go and get a simple gauge at any of your auto supply stores. You can get it at Walmart. You can get it at O'Reilly's, any of those. You're going to go into your glove boxes, typically where a lot of the manufacturer's recommendation on the tire pressure. Mm-hmm. If you don't have one of those, it's even on the side of the tire.
I was just going to say, isn't it on the side of the tire?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So you do that. Mine, I know my truck runs at 80 PSI. It's going to vary for manufactured tires, the rim size. There's a lot in there. Most gas stations are going to offer you free air unless you're Ashley. And then she'll go and get 50 cent air. Even though it says free, she's going to put 50 cents in there. It's like my kind of client.
Taking this a little personally here.
So check your tires, guys. That's very, very, very important. We kind of touched this next, number two. We touched on this last week, I think, when we were talking about putting water in your wiper. So number two is going to be your wiper fluid. Now, I don't know about you, but there's nothing worse and more annoying to me is driving down the road and having like bugs or not being able to see clearly out of my windshield. And this is extremely important. It goes against what we said last week. Use winter windshield wiper fluid because not all winter wiper fluid are the same. Some are not designed for below, you know, sub-freezing temperatures. So what you'll have is your reservoir that holds all that is going to be a block of ice. So make sure you get the right winter windshield wiper fluid. That's like 3WWW.
Say that five times real fast.
No, thank you.
I also, again, did not know that. So I learned something new every week on this show. It's perfect.
There you go.
Thank you, Randy.
Because that winter stuff, that stuff's going to break down the ice and snow. So you might be able to get away with only scraping half your glass. Get some of like really good wiper fluid on there. It'll break the rest down. It's pretty cool. And then this one is like a no-brainer. I think this one always comes down to when you were a kid. This is why I'm totally... I like when Mike Rowe's talking about bringing like shop back into schools, like shop class, because oil is our number one on our top five.
Yep.
You look at this anytime you take a big trip out of town. So you're driving to Vegas, whoop, whoop, or you're going to out of town anywhere. You want to check your oil. Same thing anytime you're going into winter. They, believe it or not, have a winter grade oil. So make sure you ask for that as well. Remember, we get brutal winters here, and I'm not going based on the last 3 years here because I think we're in for a huge winter. But when winter's, when it's, it begins to set in, you want to consider maybe switching with a lower weather viscosity grade. So if you're normally using like 1030, try switching down to a 5W30.
So I'm going to take back what I said earlier about the antifreeze. I think I was actually talking about oil, but that would be me.
Okay.
All right. You know, I don't totally do cars. I know, but I think I was actually speaking of oil.
All right. Well,
my bad.
Those are at least our top five for getting ready for winter. Ashley, sprinkle our sponsors with some love and get us out of this segment.
Well, let's see. You are listening to The Finish Line here on KRDO News Radio. Brought to you by In-N-Out Auto Salon, sponsored by 365 Grand Club and Properties, the Mike Show Auto Group, in partnership with Johnny Martin's Car Central. My name is Ashley. I'm with Randy Martinez, and we will be right back. To The Finish Line. My name is Ashley Genta with Johnny Martin's Car Central. I'm here with Randy Martinez from In-N-Out Auto Salon. And let's see, Randy, what do we have in store for our guests right now on this segment?
Do you like Volkswagen?
I actually do like Volkswagen.
Do you like the Beetle?
As a child, I always wanted a Beetle.
They're pretty sweet, right?
Yeah, I kind of dig them. They were cute and, you know, I wanted that
so
growing up.
Let me ask you, what's your favorite? Do you like the new school look or do you like the old school look? What's your favorite?
Ooh, I think I probably would have gone old school.
I think
And I probably would have gone like bus.
Ooh, the shag wagon.
Yeah, nice. Totally.
Yeah, yep. Growing up in Southern California, we spent a lot of time in the
Volkswagen shag wagons. Is that what bus. We're calling them right now? That's all right. You're not the only one that grew up in Southern California, so I hear you.
Well, guess what? So we're gonna bury ourselves into a bug life.
Yeah, why are we? What's up with the bug life? Why are we talking about Volkswagen bugs?
What if I told Beatles. You they're going bye bye?
No,
bye bye. Yeah, they're done. July of next year. So we're in 9, 10, 11, 12. So we have what, 6? We have 9 months, and then the last Beetle's gonna roll off the show, their production line. But yeah,
why? What's happening? What's going on here?
Don't know. It's just not a money maker for them. I mean, they just, that's it.
But they have all the components to, like, you can put the eyelashes on the headlamps.
I thought the ones with the eyelashes were for the ladies that did your eyelashes. They were like, they owned like a hair salon or an eyelash.
Let's not get things twisted here, Randy. Would totally drive a Beetle with eyelashes. I know. And flowers in the console. I mean, that's kind of a cute touch. Why is Volkswagen getting away with a Beetle?
Probably because they put a flower in the dash. Like, that one did not come in the old school Beetle. The old school Beetle.
Somebody saw you riding around town in a Beetle with a flower in the dash. And they were like, no more.
Sunflower. We got to get rid of that. Not any flower. It's just a sunflower.
It wasn't a tulip.
So, yeah, after 80 years... Volkswagen's going to go ahead and stop making it for almost 7 decades now. But there's some really cool, a lot has gone into the Beetle. Did you know how and why the Beetle was originally, conceived?
Would be the word? Conceived would be, okay, so I'm going to go with the old school movie. The name is...
How about Adolf Hitler?
That was not the first that was not the first to come to mind.
It was
Herbie.
It was
Herbie, right? Herbie.
Yeah. But it was Adolf Hitler who was originally the one who was like, hey, we need something cheap. We need mobility. And that's kind of how the whole Beetle came to inception.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Go figure.
Now I'm going to have to research this.
Well, lucky for you, I kind of spent a little bit of time on putting a timeline together for Volkswagen. Back, and again, I was telling you about Adolf Hitler. In 1935, Volkswagen commissioned Adolf Hitler to provide a low-cost transportation for the masses. So the 1935 V-Series prototype gave them that final design, that concept look of that dome, that half apple.
How does a Beetle transport the masses? This is my question.
I think it's almost along the same lines as how Kia and what's the other Hyundai? The way they got into their game, they're now competing, at least Hyundai is competing with BMW, with the luxury, everything entailed in their car.
I get it.
Becoming standard. But 15 years ago, Kia and Hyundai, those were throwaway $3,000, $4,000 cars.
Absolutely, but so, not anymore.
No, not anywhere close.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have all standard, high luxury features. Good, you know, we'll get into that another show, but... So I'm thinking that it was just a quick, easy to produce vehicle they can shove right down the assembly line and that people would have transportation.
All right. So back to Hitler.
No, we're going to pass him.
We're passing Hitler.
Yeah. Okay. By 1938, they brought in Ferdinand Porsche to kind of come out, and that would define basically how the motor operated, because the Porsche and the Volkswagen, they have similar motors. And that was based on Porsche coming in and helping out. So remember, this is just a timeline, because in 1946 they did a public showing a photo of it leaving the assembly line, kind of saying, "Hey, here we are. You know, we're not just German made. We're here for the masses." So they started doing a little advertising on that. So that was their photo of them back in 1946. 9 years later, they made their millionth car, which is pretty solid to do in a short period of time. That's only 20 years to make a million cars. That, I think, is
especially
where the masses,
then.
You know, for the masses that
amazing.
They put out a million. So what is that? You know, half and five. So it's a quarter million every, right? 20 years? Every 5 years they're doing a quarter million? It's not bad.
No.
More than what Tesla's putting out these days.
Well, especially for that time period, too. I mean, that's pretty outstanding.
Yeah. 1955 was also a year that became a collector's edition when they had that oval rear window. Now, if you look at the ones today, that whole back glass, it's almost a football field that they have back there on that back glass.
Right.
Then there's your Herbie in 1969.
Aww, Herbie.
Disney, they came out with the love bug. Meep, meep. You know? We don't have sound effects yet, so I'm the sound effects.
Are you going to sing us a song from that movie, too?
Listen, I can't sing.
Okay, please don't.
Nor can I dance.
You're welcome, audience.
And believe this or not, but in 1972, in a race, Volkswagen was passing the Model T. They got a picture of a Model T surpassing a Ford Model T in a race. And at that time, it was the best-selling car of all time. And then you got to leave it to Hollywood. They know how to regurgulate movies. So then Herbie came out, a new Herbie with, what was that girl? She was always on drugs. What was her name? You know,
Courtney Love. I don't know.
No, Herbie, the new one.
I'm kidding. I don't know.
Ah, Herbie. What's her name? Lindsay Lohan. Thank you.
That's what I was going to say next. That was my second guess.
That was probably my favorite bug right there. So in 1998, they redesigned the new Beetle. And so here we are, 20 years later after they redesigned it, and they're finally pulling it. So then there's a really cool, they had to change. Everybody's got to adapt and change in the world. And so in 98, they finally changed the iconic old school, which, you know, I tend to like the older version of the Beetle. But in 98, they went ahead and they introduced the new Beetle, which bore no relation to the original car. The new one was all front-wheel drive, powered with a water-cooled engine, borrowed from its sibling, the Volkswagen Golf. And I think that's the route that Volkswagen's going, because Volkswagen has such a lineup, a different, a huge lineup of cars. I just don't think that sales are there. And I think that a lot of other manufacturers are going to be following suit, with Ford ditching a lot of their car manufacturing lines if they don't make sense. Which brings us to July of 2019. And that's the end of 84 long, iconic, memorable years.
I have a feeling we're going to see a comeback.
They're not
at some point.
I don't think it's dead, because...
Yeah, I don't think it's dead either. I feel like we're going to see a comeback of a newer, better, sicker Volkswagen.
It's just a weird time for cars, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got to take for instance, the Ford Bronco. It's been gone since just after OJ went on his little...
Not to name names, but yes.
Yeah, I'm not name dropping or anything. But, so the Bronco's coming back in 2020. So any really good car, it's not going to die or be gone. You got to think like the Barracuda.
For now. Oh, yeah.
Barracuda's coming back.
I've had a couple Barracudas in my club on show.
I mean, up until, what, 3-4 years ago, the Challengers weren't right? They were gone for a while. The Chargers were gone for a while. So I don't think the Beatles going to be dead forever. I just think that 5 years ago, U.S. vehicle sales were evenly split, okay, between light trucks and cars. But this year, through May, trucks outsold cars by more than 2-1. Ford's on that. They're already ahead of the curve. They've cut almost all their cars outside of Mustang. Their light trucks. It's just not a good time for cars. Hence what I was saying a while back. I'm done with cars. I have been. But I'm not, like, on the presidential board for Volkswagen, Ford, GM, or anybody else. These times are changing, and the market's going to adapt. So they're going to put pause on Volkswagen for a minute, and hopefully they'll come back, only this time
when with the truck
flying,
right? Yes. You know,
why waste all
into
that
into space in a rocket ship?
You know.
I don't know. I'm kind of going the other route. I'm kind of like, I want to get rid of the SUV and go for something a little more gas efficient. I said my car is where goldfish crackers go to die. I don't want to drive a goldfish cracker. Difference.
Okay.
Difference. Just cool. Fuel efficient, I guess, is kind of the route that I want to go these days now that I'm done carpooling. But I can appreciate a truck. I mean, my husband has a truck and we definitely get a lot of use out of it. So, yeah, Merca.
Merca. Gotta have a truck.
Merca.
You almost have to have a truck or SUV in Colorado.
You kind of do.
I mean, there's no two ways about it. So when we get back,
can't wait to see what you have in store.
Oh, they've got an Atlas that's sweet. It's they've coming. Got a Touareg. They've got a lot of. They've got a full.
They
lineup.
Do have a ton of stuff.
Yeah, they're not going to be hurting on any level. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the manufacturer that is 110 years old this week. And Ash, why don't you go ahead?
Finish Line here on KRDO News Radio. Presented by In-N-Out Auto Salon in partnership with 365 Grand Club Properties, the Mike Shaw Auto Group, in partnership with Johnny Martin's Car Central, and we'll be right back. Finish Line. My name is Ashley Ginto with Johnny Martin's Car Central, here with Randy Martinez from In-N-Out Auto Salon.
What up?
And let's see.
We are in our third segment, Ash.
We're four, but who's counting?
We're in a third, right? Fourth?
Four.
It's okay. Oh, man. We need time. I got to talk to Ted. We need more time.
Do we?
We need a phone to be ringing.
Randy, come on. What's in store for us this segment? What do we have going on? What are we talking about?
We're going to talk about a car manufacturer that turned 110 this week. So since there's only three really major ones, do you have any guesses on who it might be?
Well, I'm going not with Volkswagen since we just talked about them. So
process of elimination. I like the way you think.
I'm going to go with not Ford since I know they're one of your favorites.
Right. So that leaves two more.
One of the bigger manufacturers that I know of, General Motors.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right.
And as we break this down, you'll start to see why it couldn't really have been anybody else. So that's right. The 16th, which was...
yesterday.
For some people, but this is a Wednesday show, so it would have been 3 days ago when you guys hear this. She's catching on, folks, and I swear we're gonna get her up to speed because we are pre-recording. So, yes, this past Sunday, Ash, we don't do dates and stuff like that on that. So, this past Sunday, General Motors, they turned 110 on September 16th, back in 1908. It's kind of a great story you got. William Durant, he started it as a holding company September 16th in 1908. The very next day, he's turned around and sold it to Buick Motor Company. And then they went on to acquire 20 other companies, including Oldsmobile, Cadillac, Oakland, which is also now known as Pontiac, and so many more. They did a lot for the industry. In the early 1900s, GM was putting over 100,000 carriages. So that's without motors. When you got a little horse. I think that's where that horsepower thing came from.
I believe you're right.
I'm trying to get you up to speed here.
No, I know that.
Anyways, before he bought Buick, Mr. Durant, he actually owned, speaking of Ford, quite a few Ford dealerships. So all this stuff's pretty much history, guys. Any car guys out there, you kind of have an idea. After they got Oldsmobile, it was just a domino effect. Went in and they got Cadillac. And then there's a couple of these that are not even around anymore, like Carter Car, Elmore, Ewing, Oakland. So they're kind of a big deal in the car game, GM being around for 110 years. Did you know, Ashley, that most of the people that like General Motors, Dodge, the Dodge brothers, they all started their career with Henry Ford?
I actually did not know that.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
Fun fact for the week.
It'll be another show that we talk about the Dodge brothers. But yeah, they actually worked for Henry Ford for about, I want to say something around 15 to 20 years. I'd have to double check on that before they started Dodge.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Don't you have a GM or you have a Dodge?
I have a Dodge.
Okay. That's the Durango, right?
Or Durango.
Durango.
Durango?
No, Durango, it doesn't matter.
Well, tomato. I mean, it kind of does.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, you're right. It doesn't matter. I have a Durango.
But it's kind of crazy because only two years after Durant got GM, he actually lost it. He lost it to a bunch of bankers.
Back in like 1910, yeah?
Yeah, it was two hours after he bought it. Two years.
Nice.
So then in 1926, the Oakland brand, which we already kind of established is now Pontiac. So yeah, he renamed that. General Motors is kind of a beast in this game. And it's a different business model, I think, than Ford, because Ford went in and tried to do it so it was more effective. He's the one who created, obviously, the assembly line. GM was out just buying everything. So, they went out and they picked up a company that was called Hertz Drive Yourself System. I'm sure you know what that is now, right?
Well, I've rented plenty of cars from Hertz, so I'm assuming it's the same.
Boom.
Same thing? Yeah.
And then he didn't stop there. He went after Yellow Cab. We can also, throw that in because I think Z-Trip is going to be one of our sponsors coming on next month.
Absolutely, yep.
So if you do require to have a cab, you can always call Z-Trip.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, John Hertz, GM took that over. The Yellow Coach, this was back when Yellow Coach was actually a bus company. So they, in turn, created Greyhound. So we're talking 20s, 30s. GM was a major beast. Whereas, you know, other companies were doing different things. GM was out just buying everything. Cabs, stagecoaches. Let's create Greyhound. Let's start Hertz Rental Company. So they kind of had their fingers in on everything, which is pretty rad because you got to love capitalism at its best. And let's see. Chevy was also picked up Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick. And then they wanted to make their cream of the creme. You know what that would be, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's that? Cadillac.
Going with your Cadillac.
That's right. The Caddy, baby. Now, I turned around like we were in your guys' Johnny Martin's. I was like, you guys have Cadillac. We're in the studio.
No, we're in the studio.
Wasn't Cadillacs last month? Did you guys have Cadillacs in
there? Like 2 months ago, I had Caddies in there, yeah. Last month was Johnny's Chevy.
What's this one? Where we just had lunch? Corvettes, right?
Corvettes.
Okay.
Yep.
But
I've had some pretty sick Cadillacs in there. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I've seen them.
You've seen them.
Yep, I've done a couple of them, actually. So while Henry Ford was out there doing everything he could to reduce costs, car buyers, they didn't want to just end up having the cheapest, most basic model anymore. They wanted style, power, prestige. And GM offered that because they had so many tools in their belt. They were able to move and do things that other car companies at that time couldn't do. They also gave them safety glasses because I think at the time the windshields weren't up. But I think the thing that really helped GM was the fact that they were one of the first companies to come out with consumer financing with GMAC. So when you go out to finance your car and you see GMAC or anything like that, remember that whole, just like the assembly line was a pioneer by Ford to produce a car on a mass assembly line, GM was the one that figured out, hey, we'll go ahead and lease you this car or let you make payments on this car. So that allowed far more people to buy General Motor cars than Ford because Henry Ford was completely against credit, just on the morale principles. But they weren't far behind it because when you see something that works, why not duplicate it, right? If you're seeing your competitor outselling you because they have financing options, Ford soon jumped on that. So shortly after that, right around 1950, in the 50s, GM had become one of the largest corporations registered in the United States in terms of like its revenue. I think it was one of the first people to spend $1 billion in taxes, which is kind of huge if you're in the 50s. These days, I think, is going to be a little bit, you know, people are going to be paying a lot more in taxes, but to pay $1 billion in the 50s is kind of huge. Anyways, that's kind of the little rundown on GM. Did you know, Ashley, that Eisenhower appointed Charles Wilson, the president of GM, as the Secretary of Defense?
I did not know that.
Yeah. I didn't either because we're way too young.
But, thank you for that.
But
yes,
the internet told me that. So I wanted to let you guys know that because of all the hard work that he did and what he was able to show with just a small company, he was able to move up to Secretary of Defense. Kind of cool.
No kidding.
I didn't know that until yesterday. You know, while we're on the topic of GM, our wizard Bob kind of threw a pencil and hit me right in the head and brought up a good point. The Fisher brothers used to make old carriages before the cars. And anybody who's been an old GM motor that had the older vehicles, you'll see a little tag in the door that says Body by Fisher. And that's two brothers that actually did that. Albert Fisher, I think, is the older brother. Actually, I don't know. I'm just kidding. But it's Fred and Charles. Fred and Charles. They're two brothers. Their uncle Albert, they kind of come up with the wagon building. We're talking hundreds of years, guys, way back in the day, long before Henry Ford was getting out the Model T and before GM had any of their products out. They were building carriages because, believe it or not, that's how we used to get around. Not we, but our ancestors used to get around. So it was Body by Fishers, but that was really cool. If you ever in an old GM product, car, truck, or a horse carriage, look for the little stamp that says Body by Fisher.
And that's about it, guys. Thank you for listening to The Finish Line here on KRDO News Radio, presented by In-N-Out Auto Salon, sponsored by 365 Grand Club and Properties, the Mike Shaw Auto Group in partnership with Johnny Martin's Car Central. Huge shout out to our production manager, Bob, a.k.a. The Wizard. And we hope to have you listen to us next week.
Or no, better than that, why don't you go to our Facebook page at The Finish Line
there
COS.
You go. Yes. We'll see you next week, guys. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Finish Line with your host Randy Martinez and Ashley Gento, presented by In-N-Out Auto Salon in partnership with Johnny Martin's Car Central and sponsored by the Mike Shaw Auto Group of Colorado Springs and 365 Grand Club and Properties. The Finish Line airs Wednesday nights at 7 on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM and 92.5 FM. Listen live at KRDO.com or on demand at KRDONewsRadio.podbean.com. The Finish Line, putting the style into your automotive life.
Take a little trip, take a little trip, take a little trip and see. Take a little trip, take a little trip, take a little trip with me.